It's such a privilege for me to share the message of God's unconditional love, mercy and grace with you today. The Word of God is so, so powerful. If you can hear the message of how much God loves you, whatever comes out of God's mouth, that's what He's created. If God says you are holy and you can believe it and you can be the recipient of that word, holiness will be brought forth in your life if you can just believe what He says is the truth. All of us are dependent upon God. Now, I want to just speak a little bit about the need that's in your life. Every one of us has got a need of approval. Every person, I don't care who you are, you function out of approval. You need dignity and worth to be crowned with. If you are not crowned with dignity and worth, you have not received that which God has given unto you. He wants to give you glory and virtue. He wants to give you life. He wants to bring a glorification unto you. The only way in which the Father is glorified is by glorifying the Son. And the way that the Son is glorified is by seeing that you are glorified in what He has done. So we must be willing to receive the message that says we've been made holy, we've been made righteous, we are blessed. And that's what comes out of the mouth of God. I've seen so many people struggling to believe that God is only good. We must realize, and James chapter 1 says so clearly, do not be in error, my brother. What it says is, don't make a mistake. Only what is good comes from God. Nothing bad can come from God. Only what is good. God is the giver of life. He's not the taker of life. He's the giver of life. He's the one that brings that which is good. He's the one that brings life. He's the one that brings health. He's the one that gives health. An absence of God is the presence of what is evil. An absence of healing is sickness that will be present with you. An absence of food or provision from God is the presence of hunger and struggling and just so much bad things. God is the giver of life, and we need to know that. And only believe that that the good comes from God. That's all that we must believe. If we don't believe that, we will have a struggle in our heart, and we will find life very difficult. We will find it difficult to believe. You will not be able to believe the good that comes from the mouth of God. Now, if you can say, I've got a need in my heart and I function out of approval, I believe you. The battle is halfway won in your life. Because that is when you say, thank you God for speaking to me. And I know only good things that you speak will edify me. It will bring me to the place where I need to be. Amen. When God made Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, He made them without needs. They had no need. Everything they did out of abundance. God didn't create Adam and Eve because He had a need for anything. He did it because He had so much abundance of love with Him. He had so much abundance of provision in Him. He wanted just to be Himself somewhere. He created man in His very image and in His likeness, placed him in the very same situation which he was, which was a place of absolute provision. No sickness, no disease, no poverty, nothing. I mean, Adam had the wisdom of God, he had the breath of God, he had the life of God in him. When God made man out of the dust of the earth, He blew the breath of life into him. Once the breath of life was in him, then he came alive. Now the Bible says that His breath is also His spirit. And the Bible says that the Word is the Spirit. So what I believe is if we can receive the breath of God, which is the Spirit of God, which is the Word of God, the Word of what He's done in you and given unto you freely, which is the Word of perfection. Hallelujah. When we can receive that into our hearts, we will become alive. Life will enter into us. I've seen so many people, they became born again, they received the infilling of the Holy Spirit, but still they're experiencing so much death. Although they've got all life in them. Because only when you receive the Word of life and believe the Word of life, life will manifest in your life. Even if you've got it in you. Now Adam became a living soul. God, he just breathed the breath of life into him. Adam knew what God knew. You know, God made the animals. He made all the animals, then He called Adam and said, give names unto all these animals. It's not that God didn't know what He made. God knew that He made a lion. God knew that He made a giraffe. God knew that He made a rhinoceros. All the animals, that He knew the names of the animals. But He called Adam to give them names without Him telling them what the names were. So when the Bible says when Adam gave the names unto the animals, the names that Adam gave the animals were the names of the animals. That means that Adam functioned out of the intuition or the nature of God that was within him. You might just say, well, Adam was mighty fortunate. What about me? Why can't we function that way? You know, there was a place where God breathed. He blew upon His disciples and He said, receive the Holy Spirit. Everything that I have commanded unto you, go and tell it to others. Peace unto you. So what He did was He spoke the word of peace and He gave them the Holy Spirit. He breathed the Spirit of life into them so that we can function just as Adam has functioned because of the second Adam, Jesus. We don't just function like Adam functioned. We are functioning the way Jesus functions, where He's seated at the right hand of the Father. You might say, Bertie, you are just exalting yourself above measure. Let me tell you this. The Bible says that He died and then He was resurrected. When He died, let me just say this. When He died on our behalf. When He was resurrected, the Bible said we are resurrected with Him and we are seated with Him in heavenly places. So I'm not exalting myself. All that I say is that we have been raised with Christ according to the Bible. Jesus Christ was the one who lifted you up. The Father was the one who lifted you up. Placed you with His Son, seated with Him, that we can rule and reign with Him in this earth. We are seated in the heavens with Him, but we rule in this earth and in our situation where we are now. But we need to hear the Word of God. We need to hear the word that comes out of His mouth, that we can function as Jesus is functioning. Now let's just get back to Adam. Adam functioned out of the abundance that was within him. He knew the names of the animals. I mean, his brain was, it functioned 100%. He knew everything. He was intelligent. He had no need for food. He had no need for God. Not that I say he wasn't dependent upon God. I'm actually speaking about how much he was dependent upon God. Because everything that Adam was, he was because of God's breath that was within him. Because of God's Spirit that was within him. Now the Bible says the sword of the Spirit is the Word of God. So the Word that dwelled within him, the way Adam was thinking was the thought patterns of God. That was inside him. And the Bible says God came in the cool of the day and just dwelt with Adam and spoke to him, had fellowship with Adam. So he heard what came out of the mouth of God. And Adam had no sin. So God couldn't speak to him about sin. God couldn't speak to him about anything bad that he's done. All that God could say to him was good things. Wonderful things. That's what came out of the mouth of God. Until he obviously sinned. And then God still came to speak good things about him. And then he named his sin. That's what happened. Now, imagine Adam having everything that's in him and with him. All the knowledge. All of that. That abundance. And in 1 second it's taken away. All of God is taken out of him. Don't you think that would just bring forth all types of cravings, all types of desires that would have just made him mad? He had a need for clothing. I mean, he was clothed with the glory of God. He had a need for clothes. He had a need for wisdom. He had a need for life because death was present with him all of a sudden. He had a need for food because all of a sudden he started to work and dig and toil to get food out of the ground. He was all of a sudden need orientated. He had need on his mind. And all that he wanted to do was to fulfill the need that was within him. You see, you don't know what you have until you've lost what you've got. It happens so many times. I don't say it's supposed to be like that, but that's the saying. You don't know what you've had until you've lost it. Now, I think that's what happened with Adam. He didn't know what he had until he lost it. Now, inside our lives, there is so many times a craving for God saying good things about us, but we don't believe that He says good things. We think that God smiles on us, but in the depths of His being, He's not truly happy because He just sees the areas in our lives where we must change. Now, if you believe that, and I believe many people believe that, I used to function like that. There was a time in my life where I believed that God is a God of love, but He loves me so much that He just wants to change me every day. Now, I thank God that He just brought all the change that's needed in my life in Jesus Christ. And if I can hear His good word, if I can obey His good word by believing it, deeds will come into my life, holiness will come into my life, and righteousness will come into my life through believing on Jesus. It will manifest in the physical form. Now, that is what the gospel is about what Jesus has done and knowing and believing that. Now, let's get back to what God says. When God speaks, it is always a word of encouragement. It's a good word, a word that will just lift you up. And in the next broadcast or the one after that, I will be speaking about how correction comes even out of, even if I say God only speak good things. Because there's a place of correction as well. You might say, oh, what's that? I tell you, if God corrects you, it's maybe not nice because you've been in something that wasn't good. But the thing they told you, when He corrected you, is so full of edification and so full of comfort that it also comforts you. Hallelujah. And we're going to look at the lives of Peter and people that the Lord just rebuked and corrected. If we can know that the need that we have of approval, the need that we have for God to say good things about us, has been fulfilled in Jesus Christ. We don't need to function out of need. If you don't believe God says good things and only good things about you, what will be removed from you is, how can I say it? What will be removed from you is that word that says you are good. That word that says you are approved of God. That approval will be taken away from you. And the first thing that will happen in your life is what happened in the life of Adam. You will seek to get that approval back. And if you think God doesn't say good things about you unless you do good things, you'll start to do good, you'll start to pray, you'll start to fast, you'll start to run the church, you'll start to read your Bible, you'll start to preach the gospel, you'll do anything, you'll give to the church, you'll tithe with an offering, with another offering on top, and the love offering, and even more, just to get God to say one good thing about you. Do you see how important it is to know that God already approves of you? So that when you give out of a life which says, I am approved of God. I hear Him saying good things about me. You must realize that God creates by what He says. When God speaks something, He will create what He says. So if God says you are bad, you know what will happen? You'll be bad and you'll be the worst person that there could possibly be. That's why God will say, I've made you righteous in my Son, so that can manifest. And that you need to believe. You know what the devil does? The devil knows that every person is made to function by approval. Every person is made to function out of acceptance. So if he can teach you that God is not happy with you, if he can teach you that God doesn't approve of you, if he can say that by the things that you've done wrong, God smiles but is not really happy, and if you want him to be really happy and say, well done my good and faithful servant, you need to do these 5 or 10 or 20 things. I tell you, he will just lead you around, because in those 10 things that he tells you to do, you will just see, well, I haven't done all the 10. I couldn't do all the 10. You'll feel a greater need. And then you'll tell, yeah, but you must still do this and you must still do this. And you'll be so occupied with the things of God and by trying to do through obedience to scriptures. I mean, the devil will use scripture. He will tell you, do this scripture, do that scripture. You know what he will tell you? He will tell you, listen, man. If you want the blessings of Abraham upon you, then he will take you to the book of Deuteronomy, tell you the blessings that came actually by the law. And he will say, take those blessings, but obey God. If you don't obey God, you cannot have them. You know what you actually hear? You are hearing out of the mouth of God that you are not blessed unless you do something. I mean, I can bless my child and he hasn't done anything good. If my son, not that I say he's a bad child, but even if he hasn't done good things, I can still bless him. So why can't God be like that? Why can't God bless us just because of who he is? You know, that is actually the way God functions. He doesn't function based on you. He functions based on who He is. God doesn't find His existence in you. He finds His existence in who He is. And out of who He is, He speaks unto you. He doesn't speak to you out of who you are. He speaks to you out of who Jesus Christ is. Isn't that wonderful? Hallelujah. I want to read a scripture from 1 Peter, which just explains this so beautifully. And in this you will see that by knowing the promises, by knowing that the promise has been given unto us and what God says unto us, you can enter right in to the divine nature God has given unto all people and unto Jesus Christ. And we receive it because it was first given unto Jesus. Let's read this. It says, "Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. According as His divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of Him that has called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that's in this world through lust." You must know that having a desire is a good thing to a certain extent. But on the other side, if you have got desire in you, you are open for temptation. The Bible says we are tempted when we are drawn away by our own lust or our own desire. So even a desire for the things of God, can the devil can use that very same thing to tempt you. If you've got desire to get people out of wheelchairs, or you've got a desire to do things and get things of God in your life, you want the super holiness. If you desire that, that means, like I've explained with Adam, you're actually saying, "I don't have this, I must still get this." And I believe you can be in that point which "I don't have this," but then you must go to the Word of God to hear out of the mouth of God what is freely given unto you. And you must be willing to hear that God says unto you, "I have given it unto you. You've received it already. You've received My Spirit already." You know, there was a time when I went to Prophet T.B. Joshua, and we went and we looked at what the man of God did. And I think I was there in 1999, one of the first guys that went there. And we saw him moving in power. And one thing I realized when I was there is that what he has, I've already got. He cannot give it to me. Nobody can give it to me. Nobody on this planet can give it to me, because Jesus Christ has already given it unto me by giving His Holy Spirit. And if I can believe that, and if I can believe I'm clothed in the glory of God, if I can believe, if I speak, I speak the words of God, and I can be persuaded about that, what I speak will happen. That's what the Word of God says. And so many times we've got a need, but we need to realize that all our needs are met in Jesus, in no other place. Let's read it here. It says, "According as His divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness." God's divine power. What's the divine power of God? The resurrection power. The power that raised Jesus from the dead. That power in His resurrection, everything has been given unto me that pertains to this life and unto godliness. So there's nothing that you need if you are a born again Christian concerning godliness. You've been made 100% godly, 100% pure by the works of Jesus Christ. Andrew Womack said it this way. He said, if you are here, let's call my own name, Bertie, with all the good works in the Bible without Jesus equals nothing. But Bertie, with no good works except faith in Jesus, equals everything. Man, that is too lofty for a carnal mind. That is, you need to be spiritual to understand that. But it's easy to understand. Just open your heart, humble your heart, and be willing to hear this word from God. Because if I can tell you, because of Jesus and faith in Him, you are everything, and you can hear that as a word that comes out of the mouth of God, that will manifest in your life. Know that all things that pertains to life and godliness has been given unto you. If you believe that, you will start to see it that way. Contentment will come into your heart. And I believe contentment is a simple thing. To be content is to focus on what you have and not on what you don't have, so that you can start to live out of the fullness of what you have. Do you know that hungry people don't share their food? As easy as that. Hungry people don't share their food. As long as what you are still hungry and you believe you don't have, it will be difficult for you to share what you've got. Some people will share out of a need. They believe if I share, then I will receive. But that's not what God says. God says, you have received. You have been made righteous. You are holy. You are full of my glory. You are my dwelling place. That's what he says. He says, you are my instrument that I use. I live through you. I have got my being inside you. I live through you. If you can believe that, that's what will manifest in your life. Hallelujah. But what is important is what God says. Don't be in error, my brother. God only speaks good things about you. Here the word of God comes, written by Peter the Apostle. Absolutely inspired by the Holy Spirit. He says here, grace and peace be multiplied by knowing what God knows about you. Grace and peace be multiplied by knowing what Jesus knows about you. Not what you know through the law, through your obedience about yourself. What God knows about you is the truth. What Jesus knows about you is the truth. And the Bible says, meditate on whatsoever is good. Why? Because that's the way God thinks. He thinks of whatsoever is good. He thinks on whatsoever is holy. He thinks on whatsoever is righteous. And that's His word to you today. According as His divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. He has provided everything by His power. Now if you believe, the devil can make you believe you don't have everything, you will by your own divine power or your power try to meet your own needs. Man, and that is what is called dead works. It can be right works in the sense of it's prayer, it's helping people, it's all of those type of things. But it can be works that's produced out of death, which is your own power. It's not out of the power of God. Now listen, through the knowledge of Him that called us unto glory and virtue, whereby, through this power of Jesus, through the resurrection power, are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. The promise is not given unto us. The fulfillment of that promise was given. Because all the promises are yes and amen in Christ. That means all the promises that there was given now unto you through Jesus. So that by these promises, you might be partakers of the divine nature, verse 4 says. In other words, through knowing what you have freely received, believing it, and hearing that word of God. Not the word that says, well, I'm not happy with you. I'm going to prune this out of your life. I'm going to prune. You know, I'm so sick and tired of that pruning message. That thing just makes people despondent. The Bible says, and we must go and read John chapter 15 verses 3. It says there that those who bear fruit, He cleanses or He prunes so they can bear more fruit. Then verse 3 says, and you have been pruned now. You have been cleansed by the word that I've spoken unto you. So if you want to be clean, hear the word that God says you are clean. If you believe it, you'll experience holiness in your life. Hallelujah, that's a powerful truth. Please don't be offended about what I said. Accept the good news and just receive the life of God. See God as a God that's on your side. Not a God that's against you. Somebody that's with you. Somebody that helps you. Somebody that supports you. That wants to see you through. Amen. Isn't that beautiful? We need to know what this scripture says. It says here, by the promises we have been made partakers of the divine nature. Only by hearing God saying, my promise has been fulfilled in Jesus. If you believe that's the only way, there's no other way in which you will be partakers of the divine nature. That's how Adam lived. Where you'll be able to name the animals. Now I just use that as an example. Let me use another example. Where you'll be able to live holy. Will you be able to live the righteous life because of the nature of God that's within you? Not because you are seeking holiness, but because you are holy. Hallelujah. Now, by knowing the divine promises, there's something great in the scripture. It says here that we have escaped the corruption or the decay or the corrosion that's in this life through lust or through desire. You must know, desire brings corruption. Desire brings corrosion. Because if you've still got desire and you don't know that it has been met in Jesus, you'll start to do things to fulfill that desire. And the thing you do might be a wrong thing. So many people in zeal for God, like take the Israelites, if you go and read Romans chapter 10, they have got a zeal for God. They want to do for God. Why do they want to do? Because they don't believe they're approved. Because the Lord tells them that you are full of sin. You're not righteous. Guilt comes into their heart. They feel they have been separated from God. They read Isaiah where it says that your sins has become a wall of separation between me and you. And they don't understand what that scripture means. They feel the separation. They want to correct it by a zeal, by serving God. And through that, I mean, they even killed the Lord Jesus Christ. So there is decay in this world through that. But we need to pray right now. And I want you to receive God as a God that is just good. Before you can continue life, you must just make this up in your heart. God is only good and He speaks only good things about you. Let's just pray together. Father, I want to pray for every person that listens to my voice. I speak your peace unto their hearts right now. And I say, make the decision. And Father, I thank you that they will do it right now. I want you to make the decision. Just pray these words. Say this. Father God, I believe today that only good comes out of your mouth. And that's all that I'm willing to hear. Amen. Thank you that you've joined me. Please write to us. We'd love to hear your praise report. And God bless you.